I think gratitude is the one thing we need to keep in our life so we can acknowledge and understand how much we do have. Because in modern day society, we're constantly presented with images of what we don't have. We're being sold to, we're being programmed, we're being externally influenced. And so even I myself, once I spend any time on social media, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to work harder. I need to do more. And then I think, I literally look out the window and I'm like, I live in Florida. It is beautiful. I live in a beautiful home. I have two beautiful kids. I have a business I love. Do we really need what the internet is selling to us today?
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today has over 20 years of experience studying Ayurveda in the US and India with a PhD in turmeric. She has done some amazing things, and I'm really happy to have her here with us to talk about all kinds of very interesting things that come from a really deep understanding of the world that comes from a really long tradition in taking care of our health. And I'm really happy to introduce to you Dr. Shivani Gupta.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you, about the work that you're doing.
So my goal is to teach the world about this ancient system of medicine and health and healing from India that's over 5,000 years old. And it's a system called Ayurveda. And Ayurveda means the science of life and a sister science to yoga. So this sister science to yoga basically shows us that, similar to yoga, where the goal is spiritual unfoldment and being in alignment and bringing our vibration to our truest, most pure self, in the same way, when we practice Ayurveda, what we're really doing is healing the body, detoxing the body, kind of cleaning and clearing anything that's interfering in our health, then emotionally clearing that, mentally clearing that, so that really we're the cleanest vessel possible. And thus, we're healthy, we're vibrant, we have the most energy we could possibly have. And that vibrant energy and health is something we can use for good. And so that's how I see Ayurveda, is this whole system that was created to bring us so much peace. And in that place of gratitude and peace, we can then create, and we have the energy and clarity to create what we want to in the world.
Definitely. I think it's so wonderful that we have these kinds of traditions, this kind of knowledge that has been in the world for quite a lot of time that maybe some of our listeners know about, but I'm sure it's something new and could be very interesting for the people that don't know much about Ayurveda and how this science is based on a lot of research nowadays, but also a lot of experience that has been passed on through generations. And I think this is something really interesting that, we should definitely get into.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that you have such a specific focus in your PhD about something that we might just know as something really simple that makes the food taste better, but something that actually has a really big impact. And I love people that are studying things, and I think this is a way in which we can express gratitude, is studying these kinds of things that are small for all other people maybe, but for us it's like we we appreciate that particular thing so much that we want to know as much as possible about it and explore it and find ways to feel grateful about it as well. So let us know a little bit about that, how you went on this journey.
Sure. So I had all my own health struggles. And it was growing up, I always had this immune system that never supported me. I was getting sick every month and taking antibiotics. And then at the same time, every time I went to India to visit my family, someone would be suffering with the after effects of diabetes. And either it would be a quadruple bypass or a leg amputation, like a lot of serious things were happening in front of me, or people would pass away of heart attacks. And I thought, you know, this is not good. Like, this can't be good that you live this beautiful life and the last phase is so much serious disease management. And so that led me on this journey. And I was in India and I looked around and I was like, we have yoga and Ayurveda as sciences in this country. I'm going to go figure this out for myself. So I traveled through India and studied Ayurveda under all the different gurus all over the country. And I just immersed in it. And I went with this very scientific mind of, are you going to heal me? Does this science really work? I kind of went in with a little bit of that Western mindset of prove it to me. And I was shocked. I mean, that everything they taught worked. They were using simple plants. They were using oils from plants. They were using simple lifestyle practices. When we say Ayurveda is a sister science to yoga, that means that part of what we teach is meditation, pranayama, breathing, yoga. Like, we teach those things. And we teach how to bring that yogic lifestyle and perspective into the kitchen. Can we eat foods that are good and nourishing and bring us wholeness, not foods that are going to make us agitated or angry or take away our peace? Then we learned so much about detoxification and doing annual or seasonal detoxes that are going to clean and clear the system, because in modern day times, we have accumulations of all sorts of toxins and things that don't belong. Then we learned about circadian rhythm and the circadian clock and the importance of sleep and all these different things. And then we learned about inflammation, autoimmune, and how to really get the body to settle down and not battle with itself. And so to me, when I learned Ayurveda, I was like, this is it. This is everything I ever needed to build my health back up and build an immune system I needed. But I also thought to myself, like, what can I take out of this that we'll use in the West? Because in the West, we kind of want those very direct tools. Like, we want the hammer that's going to hit the nail, that's going to give us the result we want. And being surrounded by so much Western medicine in my own family, I kept thinking, like, what from Ayurveda can you pull first as the first tool and convince all of Western medicine to use it as an additional tool in their toolkit? And that's where I thought turmeric was so powerful. And so that led me to do the whole dissertation paper on turmeric. I was obsessed with it for years. And my family thought I was crazy because they're like, every time something's wrong with us, you tell us to take turmeric. And I'm like, well, that's because turmeric is effective and it works and it does the job. So if you want to fix your immune system, take turmeric. If you have joint pain, take turmeric. To me, turmeric is this powerful anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal. And using it in food form and whole form is beautiful. We typically dry it into a spice and use it as a spice. And then within that spice, only 3% of it is the curcuminoids. And so my area of study was really, how do we take curcumin, the main extract, and put it at a potency that's strong enough to really address really big, painful issues that we have in society around chronic joint pain and different health issues. And so that's been my body of work for the last decade, is taking the turmeric that I studied, putting it into a form that people can use, and then working alongside doctors to reduce the amount of painkillers and things that we use when we're in pain or post-surgery.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I just love the fact that it's something so simple that we see everywhere, that we just don't think about that much, that can have such a huge impact on us. And I think this is very similar to gratitude. Like, it's something that we have at hand all the time. Right. And there are so many simple things like these that we can appreciate. But we don't always do that, even though we have this option and we have this opportunity to make more of the things that we have. And I'm sure that most of our listeners have turmeric in their house one way or another. And it's wonderful to think that there's something like this that's so simple that can help in so many ways.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, how do you see gratitude? Like, I've spoken about this parallel between turmeric and gratitude, the fact that it's something so simple that we can always see and appreciate. And I'm very curious on what's your perspective on gratitude?
I think gratitude is the one thing we need to keep in our life so we can acknowledge and understand how much we do have. Because in modern day society, we're constantly presented with images of what we don't have. We're being sold to, we're being programmed, we're being externally influenced. And so even I myself, once I spend any time on social media, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to work harder, I need to do more. And then I think, I literally look out the window and I'm like, wow, I live in Florida. It is beautiful. I live in a beautiful home. I have two beautiful kids. I have a business I love. Do we really need what the internet is selling to us today? No, I have everything. And that gratitude, I find, is the most fulfilling, life-fulfilling thing we can do, is just keep constantly acknowledging it. And there's these Ayurvedic self-care rituals that I teach called Dinacharya, the daily self-care rituals. And I teach them, and they sound kind of mechanical. It's like tongue scraping, oil pulling. But really, if every act of self-care we did every minute of the day was a gift of self-love towards ourselves, then we could constantly be in this place of gratitude. And that's how I think of it. I teach a simple tool called Tea Time is Me Time. And so I teach everyone to grab a cup of tea a couple times a day and take a moment and just take stock and ask your intuition, how am I doing today? How's everything going? And that's a great opportunity to just get really mindful to, what am I grateful for? Everything. And what are those last few things I need to feel whole and healthy and happy? So to me, gratitude is this this profound understanding that we already have everything we need. And if we want more and we're seeking more, it's just a few steps away. And it's interesting. I just did a presentation at a conference last week and I left, I told them my strategy in business, which is like, do this, this, this. I'm a hard worker. But I said, my last cylinder in my 6-cylinder strategy is leave room for miracles. Mm. And the whole audience was like, what? And I said, you know, if you understand that you already have everything and the universe provides everything you need, then really all we're asking for sometimes is, can you please bring some beautiful miracles? And because I walk into every place, and that's my intention going to any event is, you know, please universe, please connect me to 3 magical people or the people who are miracles who I'm meant to connect to. And that's exactly what happens. And then everything is, I don't know, it's like 10x more magical than you could have planned for and expected. And so I find gratitude is very much this way to not be unsatisfied. It's this way to bring satisfaction back in a world that seems so dissatisfied.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. And it's something that we tend to forget because we are always bombarded with all kinds of information and images and videos and everything. And that actually makes us feel dissatisfied with where we are, with who we are, with how we look, with everything that we see when we either look in the mirror or when we look around. And gratitude helps us do the opposite of that. And
true,
when we look around, just to see those beautiful things and appreciate where we are, like you mentioned, of being in the place where you are and thinking about the people that you have in your life. And yeah, it's wonderful. So I'm also very curious if you've always been like this, or if there was a moment in which your perspective shifted towards gratitude.
I think motherhood changes you a lot. you know, I had my first child. Second child was a miscarriage. That's big lessons. And third child, which is my second child, came along. And so I think children cause you to really pause and get really present in your life. And so I think what my children taught me is I'm just grateful that they're alive and healthy at all times. And beyond that, I don't really need much. Everything else is icing. So that I think has been one of the most profound lessons in my life is just maybe I'm overly attached, but I think as parents, a lot of us are so attached to the kids. I think another thing that happened is when I was in college, I always wanted to create social entrepreneurship ventures. I always wanted to create these huge businesses that would impact the world and change the world. And I've been trying to do that since 2004. So I've been creating different businesses and ideas. And this business that I'm in, the turmeric that I created, the supplement, I've been in this business for 10 years as of next January. And so it's really caused me to reflect because in 10 years, I would have wanted to, the company to be 10 times bigger than what it is. But around year 8, all of a sudden these miracles started coming. I shifted my attitude. I shifted my perspective. And I just got really grateful that I get to do what I want to do. Like, this is my life calling. And as someone who gets to do my whole life calling, my dharma, my purpose, it's okay if the timeline is not what I expected it to be. That will happen in due time. It could be because the universe wanted me to enjoy time with my kids. It could be because the universe wanted me to enjoy the whole journey through and not just skyrocket to success and then not enjoy it. So really my perspective shifted around year 8 when the miracles started coming in and these people who were guides and mentors. And I thought, you know what? Now we're on quite a growth track. I better enjoy exactly the whole thing because it felt like 8 years of suffering, 2 years of growth. So now I can look at it and say, I'm going to enjoy every minute because it's finally going the way I want. And I'm going to look back at right now and think, wow, I should have enjoyed those times. So I'm very much in this state of gratitude now because I can see I already have everything I want. More is just going to be more. And how can I just savor this? How can I go to Europe and eat with my kids? How can I just enjoy each person that's in my life now and appreciate them while I have them?
Yeah, I absolutely love this perspective. And I think it's something that we get to when we have a lot of awareness and we think about when we have had some experience beforehand and we listen to a podcast like this one and we think about the fact that actually we can appreciate this moment, this exact moment, because I have this belief that exactly where you are right now, maybe a year ago, a few years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, this was your dream.
Yeah.
Even though it might not be, I don't know, shooting to the moon and just being somewhere around where you are is something that you actually wished for quite a lot in the past. And I think this is a really beautiful way of understanding the present moment and the fact that we have so many things that we can be grateful for and that we can appreciate right now. And yeah, I think it's one of those things that we don't usually think about because we tend to be, as humans and especially in the West, more goal-oriented and it's always in the future. And when we think of the past, we tend to think about other kinds of things, but we don't think about the fact that we actually dreamt of this moment, of being where we are, of enjoying the things that we get to enjoy in this present moment. And yeah, I think this is a really beautiful perspective. And thank you for reminding me of it again. And I think it's something that we can all think about and see that it's up to us to have these kinds of moments in which we see the present moment where we are right now in a really different way.
True.
And in case people listening might have a challenge with this in the sense that they might feel tired, I think a really interesting topic that I would love for us to get into is the circadian rhythm.
Sure.
So let us know a little bit about that. I think it's really interesting nowadays, especially because we are not as much in contact and in touch with nature, and it is very hard for many of us from this point of view.
Absolutely. So circadian rhythm is a concept from Ayurveda that we teach that basically says nature has a clock and rhythm. And we are from nature. We are from the earth, living on planet Earth, Mother Earth. So our rhythm is the rhythm of nature. We just think that because we're human and we have modern technology, we can completely defy nature's rhythm. We can wake up when we want. We can sleep when we want. We can have our lights on up bright. We can party through the night, work through the night. We can completely disregard nature's clock. And so circadian rhythm or chronobiology has said for thousands of years, wake up when the sun rises, wind down when the sun sets. At 10 o'clock, your body is going to release melatonin. 10 o'clock, you should be sleeping. Like, you should allow that melatonin release to be supported so you sleep properly. And on the circadian clock, we teach that 10 to 2 is the most important time of day to be asleep. So 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And then, of course, get the rest of your sleep, the other 6-8 hours. But that time is really when these, I think of them as little green garbage trucks. They come out to start clearing house. They come into our stomach and all the processed foods or any foods that do not serve seed oils, anything inflammatory and problematic and foreign, cleans that out. Then comes into the heart. Let's say there were emotional things that happened throughout the day that did not serve or support you. Clears those. Then comes into the brain. And we know that we can accumulate up to 3 pounds of lymphatic waste per year in the brain if we don't clear it out. So the brain, all those mental chatter, thoughts, things, whatever needs to be cleared, it's cleared out as well from 10 to 2. And then it's evacuated out in the morning. What happens if you don't sleep 10 to 2? You're just going to accumulate over time. And then you're going to have all this mess. You're going to have junk, you're going to have what we call ama or toxin buildup going on in the body, and then everything can't work quite the way we want. And so circadian rhythm is really this powerful tool that teaches us to align to nature's clock. And when we do, everything feels easier. Everything feels easier with our health, with our bodies, with our energy. Everything that we want to feel healthy, vibrant, energized will all come to us because we're aligned with that rhythm. And one thing that's interesting is it's very simple tools. It's wake up with the sun, sleep on time at 10. It's eat your biggest meal when the sun is highest in the sky. We call that Pitta time of day in Ayurveda. So that Pitta time of day is at 12 o'clock. So between 10 and 2 during the day, eat your biggest meal because you're most supported in digesting those harder to digest foods. We also teach about taking time to be in nature. So go out and kiss the sun in the morning, allow the sun to touch your skin. That sets your clock for the day, begins your sleep pressure so that you sleep well at night. And then in the evening, take the time to wind down. So a lot of times I take nature walks in the evening. Even if it's on my street, in my neighborhood, I go for a walk for 45 minutes. And I always tell myself, look, just find 5 things in nature that are beautiful. And that's my easiest way to get present, because otherwise I'm going to want to take phone calls or listen to a podcast or get distracted. And I say, no, you know what? This is to collect peace. Pick 5 things. And as I start to walk, I'm like, wow, that flower is pretty. Oh, that tree is beautiful. Wow, that other thing. And what I find is by the 3rd or 4th thing, I'm in such a state of bliss and gratitude. I'm like in heaven. And I just keep walking and I keep noticing beautiful things. Like, I've probably admired every flower on my street 2,000 times by now, but I just enjoy it so much. And it's like a walking meditation for bliss and gratitude. And so I just tell everyone, look, there's bliss in anything, in a cup of tea, in an evening walk, morning walks. But the more we're in nature, the more we're going to allow nature to heal us and put that in that healed, clearer state that will support us in being our healthiest, most vibrant selves.
I absolutely love what you just said. Yeah. It's such a powerful thing to just be in nature and to be connected with nature as much as possible. And even what you just mentioned about feeling the sun on our skin in the morning, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
If we think about how we used to live when we weren't all the time inside or most of the time inside, in the morning, this is what we did. And it's something that makes so much sense from many points of view, as well as being in nature and also taking into consideration the rhythm of nature itself.
Yeah.
The fact that, of course, technology and electricity and all kinds of technological advancements have helped us to grow and to be more effective from many points of view. But I think all of these kinds of things actually have a cost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're not natural.
Correct.
And yeah. I think that it's important for us to realize, because many of us were born in cities. We don't even know how it is to be in nature more often, and
yeah.
how it feels to be in nature and to feel the rhythm of nature. For instance, one of the things that I love when I'm out in nature is that time passes differently. And it's so interesting to notice that whenever you're in a city, everything happens so fast, and you feel that in the energy when you are there. But when you are in nature, it feels from many points of view like time stops.
Yeah, it does. And I think we've just gotten so used to air conditioning, creature comforts, everything being controlled. Our cars are comfortable, our houses are comfortable, our businesses, you know, wherever we are, we're comfortable and we're seeking comfort. And so where are the times in your day where you don't seek comfort? Usually your exercise, your workout, but other than that, nowhere. And so, yeah, it's a complete disconnect from nature. And so I encourage everyone, move in nature more, just double it, triple it, 30 minutes a day, 45 minutes a day, everything will change. When the pandemic started and I couldn't figure out what to do, and they were doing lockdowns and all the things, I literally sat down and thought, okay, if you could do one thing to save your children, what would it be? Because it's a pretty uncontrolled situation. And my thought was, walk in nature every evening for 1 hour. And that's what I did. I built that habit and it was non-negotiable. We stayed healthy. Your gut microbiome will be healthier. You're going to move the body more and move the lymphatic system. The sun is going to give you vitamin D. You're going to improve the quality of your sleep. You know, everything beautiful happens from a medical health scientific perspective. Fine. And then in the end, you're going to have more peace. And that alone is going to put you into your parasympathetic nervous system instead of always being in your sympathetic or fight or flight. So there's like a million benefits to walking in nature. And then above all, it's that this is the space we can give ourselves to be in gratitude, because we're away from our home where we might have things we constantly have to manage, our technology, our responsibilities. You're just in nature. So for me, I find it the easiest place to just go do my gratitude walk, do my circadian walk, and collect that peace.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this one that you just mentioned is a really big one for all of us, but I think especially for women. When you're in the house or in the office, you tend to think about all of the things that need to be managed in that particular setting. But when you're out in nature, it's like there's nothing that you need to do.
Exactly. Like,
everything works by itself. You don't have to do things. And I think this is such an important part of being human, not having to do stuff, just being, you know.
Right.
And I think that we miss this quite a lot because we are so used to doing stuff, and we're actually addicted from many points of view to doing stuff.
Right.
But when we are out in nature, just we don't need to do something specific, and we don't have to think about lots of things that need to get done. And the paradox here, at least in my experience, is that you get to do things more effectively afterwards.
True. You think of it as I'm going to lose time, and yet you're going to gain it.
Exactly. And yeah, I'm thinking about this, and I'm talking more about this because I really want our audience to take this up and to try it, because it's really wonderful. And like you said, it's not something that you're losing. It's actually something that you're winning on the medium and long term, even if there might be some things that you left undone at home or at the office. The fact that you can do this for yourself, and as well, well, I think some gurus said this at one point, that work is never done. It's true. Never. There isn't a time that you can say, okay, everything's done, I don't have anything else to do.
How true is that? What a profound thought. When do you ever feel complete? We never feel complete. And yet we leave the earth feeling incomplete. So it's like, what can you do to feel more complete while still keeping things in place that motivate you and push you to do more, right? Such an interesting exactly. juxtaposition. Because you want to be at peace, and yet you want to push. So
exactly. It's a really interesting situation in which we find ourselves in many, many times, that we want to feel peace, but we tend to fight for peace. We tend to take a lot of action just to be.
Right.
And the beautiful part about this is that we can actually just be right now. And of course, there are going to be things that we need to do, but I think this is a really wonderful idea, that we can just be, and just being in the present, and see how you can take things further from that perspective. And I think that's a really wonderful way of seeing things. And
I think you can be grateful while seeking for more.
Yeah, like speaking into what
you just said, like I want greatness for my kids, but I'm grateful that they are who they are as they are now. I want my business to be 10 times bigger. That would be really cool. That means we're impacting 10 times more lives. But I can really be grateful for where we are now while executing the work. And I think that is our own practice, is how can you be grateful every day, and then just put, you know, a carrot or a goal or a future racetrack finish line in front of you, knowing that you're going to, with gratitude, because you get to do the work, and with focus and with determination, do that work. But you can do so with this very yogic, peaceful, grounded, aligned sense of, you know, I'm also just so grateful I get to do the thing. I get to live out my life's purpose. So yeah, thank you for that. Such a beautiful thought.
Yeah, definitely. And what is your life purpose?
My life purpose is to teach the world Ayurveda. Easily. Wow. Easily. I know that it is, because I discovered it and realized, this is it. This is the system of health that gives me peace, makes me feel whole, gives me strength, helps me feel aligned, makes me so vibrant. So then I can give that vibrancy to every area of my life. So very much my whole dharma and life purpose is teaching Ayurvedic wisdom, ancient Indian wisdom, and how this applies to our lives.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Ayurveda, I don't know if you have information on the roots, but I think this would be something really interesting. How did Ayurveda come together?
So Ayurveda comes from the Vedas, the ancient Indian sacred texts. So the way it's explained, my understanding is, there's these rishis who are sitting in the Himalayas, and all this ancient wisdom was downloaded into them. It was given to them. And they were actually passing it down verbally for generations. It was thought that to ever write it down would completely limit it. It would completely almost simplify it to a level that was obscene. Like, it was not appropriate to simplify it. But finally, somebody said, no, we need to simplify this. We need to put this into writing enough that it can be shared past these few generations. And so that's where the Vedas were written. So there's like Sama Veda. There's all these different Vedas. And Ayurveda is one of those systems that was written down. And within the Vedas, we have all of our even sacred religious texts are the Vedas as well. And this was the one that was really teaching you how to live, while those were teaching you all the religious stories around how to be a good person, how to achieve oneness with God, how to develop your life in that way too.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I think the fact that we get to have this information is something that we can feel grateful for, because in my view, we are living some amazing times, in the sense that some information from India, which for most of us is quite far away, is readily available for us. And there are people like you that are taking it one step further and researching more and finding out ways in which it could be even more efficient. And it's something that, I don't know, 100 years ago would be something that's nuts. Like, you couldn't even imagine being able to learn about these things. Like, it would take a lot of effort to do so. You would need to know the language. You would need to have so many things in order to get to this information. And I think it's fascinating that we can do that now so easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're so lucky.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, and also the fact that we have this all of these spices, all of these Ayurvedic medicine that's accessible to us, that took a lot of, so I'm thinking about the spice trades and how hard it was in the past just to get some spices to different parts of Europe, or I think it's amazing how the world we live in has changed, and how different it is for us to have access to these kinds of things. So let us know a little bit more about what are some of your best suggestions. So do you suggest us to use the turmeric that we have at home in a certain way, or how could we get the most benefit from Ayurveda? Of course, I could have asked you what's your best recommendation, but I thought it's going to be turmeric.
It always would be, just because I've studied it the most, and I will in the future get to study so many other spices in that same depth, I hope. But I do think that everyone should incorporate turmeric into their daily lives. When you do, add black pepper or a healthy fat with it to increase the absorption, because we know that black pepper increases the absorption of turmeric by 2,000%. So that's very important. And then when it comes to ginger, also ginger has so many properties just like turmeric. So ginger is anti-inflammatory, gastroprotective. It's so good for the body to help us be healthier overall. I like ginger lemon tea in the morning to ignite our digestive fire. So that can be very powerful for us. So yeah, those are two of my favorites. And then we can also incorporate things like cilantro, cumin seeds, hing, which is a spice called asafoetida, We can use things like ashwagandha, which is wonderful, but ashwagandha is usually used as a supplement. It's usually not used as much as a food. But incorporating any of these spices that we typically use in Indian cooking, each of them has a benefit. Cumin is so good for gut health and it helps digest the food better. Same with hing. Cilantro is a heavy metal detoxer and it has a cooling effect to the body. So each spice has its benefit. So I would Google any Indian recipe and make it and you'll get the benefits of all the spices.
Oh, I love that. Of course. I don't know if you knew this about me, but also I don't know if my listeners knew this about me, but I definitely love Indian food. Everywhere I travel, I usually look for an Indian restaurant. And
very nice.
Almost never get disappointed. So
Yeah, it's good to do. I mean, those spices all have their own healing properties. They're all nourishing. So that's why I like to teach that the super spices are the new superfoods. So we think of superfoods as like spinach and blueberries and all these things. And the more we eat those, the better off we are. But in fact, we could use things like turmeric and ginger and cumin and also get very profound benefits.
That's wonderful. And by the way, is fresh ginger better than the powder?
Fresh ginger. I prefer fresh ginger in a tea, like a ginger lemon tea, fresh ginger in your cooking. Ginger powder will just be more concentrated, which is also good. Like we like turmeric in the powder form better than the fresh form. But with ginger, I tend to like it in the fresh form.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. I love ginger as well. So you got me with this. And that's why I wanted to find out whether or not it makes a difference because, yeah, it's a wonderful, I don't know what it is. It's a root, the root of a plant basically, right?
Yeah. They're all roots. They're all rhizomes from the earth. And so it's so cool. Ayurveda teaches us that where it's from and how it's grown has an impact on us. What season it typically comes in has an impact on us. So for example, when you're in the summer, eat summer fruit. It's going to cool the system and keep you more balanced and aligned and healthy. Fall foods, eat fall foods and that kind of thing. To me, turmeric and ginger are so powerful, I consider them year round, unless you're always overheated and then you should reduce the consumption of both. But as long as you're not too overheated and you're staying cool, it's fine to use both.
Yeah, and this makes a lot of sense as well. Like we have, thankfully, we have like all kinds of fruits and legumes all year round.
Nice.
And we tend to forget that naturally there are some fruits and some legumes that we can only have in certain periods of time in the year. And yeah, I think this is a great reminder as well to think about these kinds of things. And I think our body yearns for them as well in certain periods, right?
True, very much so. And so listening to those cravings from your body is very important as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So we're nearing the end of our time together. And I wanted to ask you, where can our audience find you? Where can they find out more about you, about the work that you're doing, about the products that you're creating?
So my website is shivanigupta.com, S-H-I-V-A-N-I-G-U-P-T-A. And I'm at dr.shivanigupta on Instagram and all the social channels. And then my company is Fusionary Formulas, F-U-S-I-O-N-A-R-Y, Formulas. And we have that name on social. I have the Fusionary Health podcast, which has all my cool interviews around health. And then we created a special code for your audience. Gratitude will give them 15% off at Fusionary Formulas. And that's it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here, Res, for sharing your beautiful energy and your knowledge. And it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.